Steve Bowden and
Nikki D. Lasagna.
Once again, back here, this time, right after the Stomp Tournament
Rochester.
In Rochester, New York.
At the Silver Ball Saloon with Kat and Bruce Nightingale.
Right, I love going to that place because even though, what is it, 5.5-6 hours away from me, it's a great place with like 26 games. The bar slash food is good there. You don't have to go anywhere. Everything's self-contained. Of course, the competition, but had to almost twist your arm to come out.
No, you literally twisted my arm. Without the actual twist.
Right.
So I guess it's literal, but
let's go over a few things that go ahead.
Why did you have to twist my arm?
I don't know. See, I don't think I did. See, I think I guided you along the path.
It's much closer to you or to me, but there's a very specific reason, and that would most likely be an upcoming event for you?
I will be very soon moving away from this general area of Northeast United States down to San Antonio, Texas. I really wanted to spend as much time as I could with good friends and good people before I move away for my new job. I mean, just to get into what I can get into, I am going to be the rules designer and pinball ambassador for Deep Root Pinball. So that will entail, of course, well, being rules designer would mean working through how to play each game, you know, how pinball games with rule sets. And also the part with the pinball ambassador, if you know it seems kind of hoity-toity title, you know.
No,
but
it's not.
It's, I mean, I didn't think it was when we originally were talking about it.
Pinball ambassador is a great term. It's a badass term.
I like it, you know, but it's like with someone looking from the outside might think,
no, fucking pinball ambassador is the most badass term you
I
could
love it.
Ever. Yeah,
but
right?
What it does is it also, it shows
responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility. Yeah.
Oh, like, where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, we
oh,
have.
Oh, no.
I have, like, I mean,
you
I
have real responsibilities in the pinball world now.
Yeah. That's going to be kind of strange.
It's not just competing.
Yeah, because now it's going to be like my friends will now be my customers at some point.
Yes.
And that's gonna be
going
to be a very different thing.
No, you'll be okay.
But as far as the pinball ambassador thing goes, it also allows me to continue to do Path of Play, you know, with families living with autism and Project Pinball. Some things are going to be happening there coming up that I can't reveal now, but it shows that they are going to be working with me to do this. Yeah, they were very enthusiastic with that part of when I was asking these questions to them about that.
So there's a lot of Deep Root pinball things that are not being revealed, and I'm not asking you to reveal them in any way, and we're not going to, because first of all, I don't even think you know that.
Right.
Yeah. But there has been, I mean, basically what's been revealed is that you're working with Deep Root Pinball and you are doing certain things. And so far, what's been revealed is pretty fucking awesome. And
it's getting me to move from New Jersey to San Antonio, let me tell you that. So take that with whatever, however many grains of salt you need. Especially those of you
I'll
who know
say
me. Those of you
that
who
is
know
a
me.
Shit show in a very good way.
Mm-hmm.
From going to New Jersey to San Antonio, that's fucking crazy in the best possible way.
All right, it's a life change. It's
major
big.
Like change.
The fact that I'm willing to do this will give you a clue as to what I think about what's going on.
And a couple of people have asked me, like, oh, the Meltdown Pinball podcast, like, what are you going to do with that? We're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, you know, it's just that now I'm a representative of Deep Root Pinball, so I can't mention certain things unless they're revealed, but that still doesn't stop us from hanging out and talking about pinball. So,
but we don't talk about business anyway.
Right,
so.
We really don't. Yeah, we talk about hangouts and tournaments and crazy things and whatever. And
in that turn, Let's go to Stomp.
Yeah, Stomp just happened. Like, we're literally after Stomp. What, an hour, not even an hour after?
I did
after?
Not read out. Let's say for everyone who's listening, I did not read out this time. Especially, I'm sorry, Joe Cervino, for dealing with me in Rock Fantasy. I did not rage out this time. I did not stamp my feet.
When you say raging out.
Okay, so when we were in Middletown, when we were there at Rock Fantasy, I literally raged out. This is my definition of raging out. I stamped my feet like a little child. I screamed in his face. I was near, I don't want to say near tears, but just losing my shit. And I was screaming in his face. When I showed up, he was like, "What are you doing here?"
And so when you say, so what, so you mean like 7-year-old Nikki came out, you mean?
Yeah. And you've seen that
before. I've seen 7-year-old Nikki, yeah. I've dealt with 7-year-old Nikki DeLasagna.
I think everyone on Facebook has seen 7-year-old Nikki.
Right.
Unfortunately, Joe saw that firsthand with me screaming in his face after 6 hours. And he was like, "What are you doing here?" Because this is a 12-hour tournament. Granted, I'm pretty sure I placed last. And that's okay with me. But
You went through the whole 12 hours.
I went through the whole 12 hours without stamping my feet and screaming in someone's face.
That was huge. And you won a few games, and yeah.
So I won a few games.
You definitely showed some skills.
I'm pretty sure I still lost, like, last place, which is totally fine. Honestly, it was just a major step up from going 6 hours to 12 hours, and someone was talking about Sanctum, and I just literally told them, fuck you.
So take that, take what you just experienced and double it.
Nope.
And then, so, and not even double it, it's connected to what you just had. So, like, even though we're talking right now, instead of talking, we'd be playing. It's what, in the morning? 2 in the morning? I don't know what, whatever it is.
Yes.
And we would be playing around now.
It is, yeah. Right. 2 in the morning.
So the crazy people like me who have signed up for the Sanctum and who beg for the privilege to sign up for the Sanctum. Sanctum sold out in what, 4 seconds?
Let me just say this to all of you. You guys are fucking crazy.
That's right.
I love you all, but you guys are fucking crazy. I would have to do some legal drugs. And
you have to do some strategic food. It's strategic food. It's strategic water.
I don't know what I would have to do.
It can happen. But you will reach that wall at around 3:30 in the morning.
I'm saying after 6 hours, the last tournament I did, I fucking stamped my feet like a little fucking child. Screamed in someone's face for a good half hour. For 6 hours.
And this, and by the way, this is coming from Nikki, who is a very dedicated fan of pinball. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the pinball. This is the hobby she found that she loves very, very much. And she was discontent. That's a kind word.
See, witness this? Yeah. It wasn't towards him, thank God, because I don't think we'd still be friends.
But yet and still, you went through a 12-hour, 20-round tournament, by the way. This was 20 rounds we did.
Without stamping my feet.
Without stamping your feet. She was very patient.
I didn't do good.
Right, but still, you played just as hard on the 20th round than you did on the first round. Probably even, I mean, because you had already gone through it. Yeah, well. Yeah, it does. As we, as speaking of alcohol, let's give a shout out to, what is this?
1911
Honeycrisp Hard Cider Premium Small Batch. If that means anything to you.
It is. It's a New York State. I'm pretty sure it's a Western New York.
Well, all I know is that it tastes really good. Cheers. Okay. And there's me having some right now.
Oh, yes. By the way, we're drinking.
Of course we are. Of course we are. Could we even do this if we, could we really talk extemporaneously for a few minutes if we weren't, if we weren't having, you know.
Oh, we could. We could. It would just be much more boring.
Yeah. Well, it would be clearer, but, and there'd be much more editing involved. So
I think this is the most clear we've ever been.
Yeah, we're pretty clear right now. We're pretty coherent. I mean, I'm hopped up on sugar because I just had the Silver Ball Saloon's funnel cake fries, which are amazing. So if you go there, you have to have them. You have to have the apple logs.
The burgers, the wings.
It's great there.
So let's go back to the Silver Ball Saloon.
Yeah.
Because how badass is that place? That place
is, like, I drove 6 hours to get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Part of it is because, you know, of Bruce and Kat Nightingale. You know, they're good friends. They're great friends. You know, shout out to Slam Tilt Podcast with Bruce and Ron as well. But it's a place where those of you who live in Rochester are really lucky to have a place like this where you can play lots of pinball that works. Like, all the games work. Did any game shut down? All the games work through the end, through the entire event.
Oh, they're very high maintenance and
yeah,
they're
on top of the stuff.
They're pristine.
Yeah, they're super on top of. Not, I mean, if a machine went down and went back up, you know, flipper problems got fixed within
a minute.
Within the round, I mean, this is the place you want to be. If you're anywhere near Rochester, you want to go to the Silver Ball Saloon on, what is it, 135 West Commercial.
Driving 8 hours is
so
worth it.
So a tournament. This was worth it because, I mean, I've been there before. I knew I was going to get high quality.
How many people are in town? Steph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Steph. I don't remember your last name.
Oh, Guida. Stephanie Guida. Riptide Podcast. Represent.
Yes. That's Riptide Podcast. Shout out to you for coming all the way out. Who else was out of town?
There was quite a few that I didn't. Who else? Well, of course, Joe came, right? That's
yeah,
one.
Jeff Teolis.
Teolis.
And Joe Cherubino.
Right.
You guys drove the furthest for sure.
Right. So I was 6 hours. You think I'm crazy? And yeah, I am crazy. Just think of it.
We're all fucking
I'm even
crazy.
More crazy. I'm going to work for a pinball company creating rule sets. So some of these crazy ideas in my brain are going to come out and appear on a pinball game.
You know your shit.
Yeah. So that's going to be kind of weird to see that happen. But, okay, back to the Silver Ball Saloon as we tangent a bit. You know, as far as the event itself, it was awesome. I mean, 20 rounds was fantastic. And we played, I mean, I think I only repeated a game once. Throughout the whole thing, it's like 26
couple,
games.
But like I said, I was low on the brick.
Right. But fine. That's still the software sort of balances it out so that I think it sort of tries to avoid you repeating as much as possible.
It did.
As far as, I mean, just to go into my own performance, I sort of got into an early lead and ran away and hid. I was allowed to sort of coast in. I got a bunch of early firsts and seconds. And built the lead, and then that sort of helped me get more comfortable and just be like, okay, all I have to do is get second or first, and then eventually I just built up enough of a lead where it didn't matter. I think it was up by 22 by the end.
That's what you have to do.
So I was like, okay, once that was basically set, I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable, it's good, just make sure I finish in second or first or gain points. And they did it sort of like in a sanctum format too, so...
Speaking of a win, you definitely won.
Yeah, I did win.
Yet again, 20-something, another win by Steve Bowden.
20-something point victory, which was very nice.
20-something.
Okay. Yeah.
This is something I did not know until right now.
I had it locked. Because we 12 hours of stop began at 11:15 a.m.
But...
11:15, and so 11:15 p.m. is 12 hours. So once I was up by 20 and it was like an hour left, I'm like, well, I think I got it locked up. Felt good to have it sort of locked in that way, that early. But I mean, just staying in the top group is tough though when you have all those good players there.
There was a lot of good players.
You get Frankie Romero.
Nick Lane.
Yep.
Kevin Manning.
Tab. Jerry. Yep. Jerry was there. Yep. Yep.
Joe Chiarvino.
Andy. Andy Cushman.
Andy Cushman.
Yeah, so it was, yeah, check out the lineup there. You'll see the Steph. People. Yeah, Steph, yep.
I'm on the low end of the spectrum, but I do this as a spectator sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally do this as a spectator sport. I do this to join the pinball community. And a lot of people say, oh, you don't compete. Why are you here? And it's literally to hang out with the people.
Right. And that's part of it. But you do compete. It's just like, as part of your competition,
I do and I don't. Yeah. Some bigger tournaments I don't, like Pinburg, I'm not competing in. I don't want to. There's so much to do. But I'm obviously going to compete if I'm going to be there for 12 fucking hours. You have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fucking awesome to hang out with everyone. And you know what? That's the biggest thing with the pinball community. There are not a lot of people that are shitty in the pinball community. And I don't think you're ever going to find a family like this.
Yeah, this is really a unique family that really supports you. You find a lot of support you didn't really think you had.
It's not even support. It's literally
just positive vibes and just...
I can literally call some people that I don't know that well, and they will literally bring up your spirits at 1, 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct.
Where the
absolutely
fuck
true.
Else are you going to find that?
Yeah, it's part of it because the pinball community itself is still so small right now. I mean, relatively compared to other communities like gaming, right. Or, you know, especially like, you know, gaming community as far as like Fortnite or PUBG is larger than
you're not gonna find that there. You're gonna be like, you wanna play?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Ha ha, I just fucking killed you.
Right, that's it. But here, you know, you have people who like me who will drive 6 hours to a place just to meet everybody in real life.
It's fucking and play. Crazy. And you know what? It's kinda crazy that people still don't see this as a actual thing. I get it because it is still relatively small, but at the same time, it's becoming such a big thing in so many different areas. It's becoming such a big thing as far as community. Community is the biggest part of pinball that I absolutely love, and it's just insane. Like, no one's naive to the fact that I've gone through a lot of hard times recently, and everyone has reached out to me, and it's awesome. It's so awesome. There's people I haven't even met that have reached out to me and literally will call me just to get a laugh.
Mm-hmm. Right. Simply just because you're a member of the pinball community. It's like that's... It's really strange how that happens, but then again, not really. I mean, we use the hashtag pinball family for a reason. That's why that's there. I especially notice it in the tournament scene, but not even in that. I mean, it just seems like, I mean, you'll see at Pinburg, it's basically a giant family reunion.
It is.
It's what it is. That's why you go. You go because it's like the largest family reunion. I mean, there are going to be people who I want to meet at Pinburg that I may not play at the tournament. Like, I may not see them throughout the whole 10 rounds because it's 840 people.
I don't play at
all. So,
yeah.
You know, you may not see them, but you'll see them probably later. Or you'll see them at a hangout or you'll see them somewhere.
I don't play in the pinball or in the Pinburg tournament. I just don't because I think there's so much to do that I don't feel the need to play.
Right.
And I'm not that great of a player, and I'm not playing that card to downplay me. I'm just not that great of a player, and I just think there's so much to do that I don't need to do that. I can take up my time, and I'd rather just enjoy my time at Pinburg. But I get to see so many people that I don't get to see on a regular basis. Everyone is friendly. Everyone makes time to make time for people.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, you know, just think about it. They make time to make time for you.
Right.
Because, it's not like they're not dismissive in any way. They're really talking to you, talking with you about things, hashing out things that might even be pinball related at all. You're just talking about life or talking about things that are going on with your lives in general. And, oh yeah, we're also playing pinball too, you know. It's just sort of that thing that binds us together. You know, even if we disagree on things, we have that thing that binds us like a family, even though we're not.
And I think this is a good conversation to talk about over a pinball podcast, because most people don't touch on this. They talk about the events that are going on and whatnot, but this is a big thing in the pinball community. Yes, there are some fucking trolls out there. There are some fucking people that we don't want to deal with. But that's going to be...
That's like that in any community because of the internet. I mean, you have the internet and you have anonymity. You know, anonymity breeds bravery. You know, so that's all that is. If you're anonymous or if you're under some pseudonym and you're not even if you're behind some keyboard, behind a screen... That can breed bravery.
And all of a sudden,
you just start talking crap about whatever. But then, you know, if you're a part of the family and you actually go out and meet people in real life and you play them.
I totally agree.
And you just say, hey, what's up? I remember seeing you at this thing or whatever. Like, I love it. I love it now. Now the thing is with me is now that people know me and I don't know them yet, you know, because they see me from things. And so initially it's a little awkward, you know, because of how I am, you know, and how I'm sort of awkward with sort of meeting people and things. But really quickly it gets comfortable because, again, you have that bond already before you start. You have that bond.
Because people approach you and they're like, hey, I know you.
Right.
And you're like... I
don't know, but where do you know me from? So then I can say, oh, we know you from
that video you did. But you get into a conversation and things just kind of roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it is in normal life. But with this pinball community, people are so polite. People are so just in tune with you.
You know what part of it is? Talking pinball with people is not strange in the pinball community. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know, it's not. These are the wrong words, but these are the words that are coming to my head. It's not geeky or nerdy, or it's not off-putting because you're talking to someone who is in the pinball community. So, if you walk up to somebody and you describe, oh, I really love the Iron Man game because of this, that, and the other thing, and they immediately pick up on it and they join your discussion. And they say the things that they like, and none of that is weird. And then you go to the bar, right? And you go to the bar and you talk about the latest Guardians code, and it's not weird. You know, normally that would be weird. You see what I'm saying?
But
it's not. It's like at Pinburg, none of that will be weird. Everyone will know that they will be able to just talk about anything about pinball tournaments, code, games, software, designers, whatever, and none of that will be weird. And everybody who, like, say someone like me, who is, you know, less comfortable with meeting people sometimes, admittedly, but if I'm in an environment like that where I'm talking about things that I know, and then other people are sort of in that way, they may be a little bit shy or something, but they're talking about pinball because that's where they're here to do that. They're here to play pinball and talk about it and hang out, and none of that is weird. None of that is off-putting to anyone, and that sort of gets everybody in it. I mean, it's part of what makes everything sort of comfortable and brings everybody out, you know?
Here's where I agree and disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree completely with what you just said, but at the same token, I've met a lot of people from the pinball community that are just... They literally start their conversation with pinball, and then they go into other conversations.
Right.
And they start the conversation, but it turns into something completely different, and it turns into something about real life that has nothing to do with pinball, and you just kind of form a connection with these people. I just feel like the pinball community is so much more sociable and so much more friendly. And yes, I love talking about pinball, and I love talking about, oh, I got this score, and this is how I did that, and how did you do this on Guardians of the Galaxy or Iron Maiden or Stars or whatever the case may be.
It's the way in. It's the way in.
It's the way into someone's brain.
Like even like how we talk, you know, like it's the sort of the way in into looking into each other's brains and how we think about other things.
But I've never met someone who went into the pinball conversation and took a wrong turn and started talking about something that was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you might have met them in real life. I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm
not online, sure, but
online is a totally different thing
because you have the anonymity aspect. But if you're in real life talking to someone who is basically
I can go into that, but we won't.
Right, but if you're talking to someone in real life, to someone else who has already demonstrated their pinball fandom by even being there, like everybody who's at Pinburg, maybe not anybody who's at Replay Effects, because Replay Effects is more than Pinburg. They've got pinball, they've got games, they've got all the consoles ever, they've got arcade games, they've got the bouncy house thing, you know, so they're gonna have people on stilts all
over. Any expo. Right.
But if you have someone who's in Pinburg, they've already demonstrated their fandom because they took the time to sign up for the largest mass play tournament ever. And then that's your avenue in. And then you use that to start talking about them about other things. Yeah. You need to talk to them about other things, about life and about things in general. And then it may weave in and out of pinball, maybe not. But and then you just start really learning out the person and you become real friends with them. And then those are those people that you meet at other events. You say, oh, I remember you from this and we talked about, you know, and then you start, you know, then you'll go to the bar with them and talk about something else with them. It's that initial in that lots of people don't
listen,
have.
All I'm saying is that the pinball community is fucking the most insane.
Yeah, insane and inclusive.
Thank you.
There it is. Yeah,
it's both insane and inclusive.
You know, and willing to accept you, willing to talk about, and that may be a function of because of how small it is, but it's growing.
I don't think it's small anymore. I really don't. I really don't think it's small because you meet people from all over the world. I get it if you stay in one area, if you stay in your hometown, you may think that. But for people that travel and people who, Steve is waving his hand at me. He sure as fuck should be. It's just fucking insane. I have a bad day and I have people calling me just to make me laugh.
Just a call or a text or just some sort of communication, checking on you, seeing what's up.
Yeah. And not to talk about pinball.
No. Just whatever.
It's just to make sure you're okay.
It's just that's that initial endpoint that
we
have.
And I think this is a big point that we need to have in this community that I won't say all of us, but most of us are pretty fucking awesome. Pretty fucking awesome. Like, It's
weird. It's like, yeah, we're pretty cool people, but we don't get a chance to really show it unless we're really around other people like us because, you know.
And that's kind of sad because the rest of the world doesn't know it. Think about it. You say something about pinball and someone says, what? Pinball? Right. Like the thing.
You mean paintball? Or you mean ping pong? Or no.
Or anyone that remembers Finball is like the thing with the with little the flapper buttons,
things. Yeah, the thing with the buttons flappers, and the flapper things. Yeah.
Or the buttons.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
And the dinghies. No. And then they say, no, they're still making new ones now.
I don't blame them. Think about it. When any one of you got into pinball, what do you know about it? Not much.
Right.
But it's there now. And I just think this is a thing that we need to make bigger. We need to make more well-known. And something that is actually becoming more of a generation thing. Like, think about it. Like, 13-year-olds are beating.
Right, yeah, with regularity. You know to watch out for whoever you're going to play. Ignore someone at your own peril, because you will get snuck by someone who you don't know.
You have no idea.
Because it's just about the game. That's what it is. You know, if they have the skills, that's all that matters.
I'm learning the hard way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You have any examples you want to reveal, or just no. In general?
In general, You can reveal those. Mm-hmm. I'm not that good of a player, so.
But still, I'm sure you have people who come up to you when you're at Pocketeer, right? And, you know, you're owning a game or whatever, and somebody still comes up to you and sees how you're playing or whatever, and they might ask you something, and then they meet you, and then you talk, and it's cool, and you may have another pinball
this
fan on
there.
This
is the thing with pinball players. They treat you as equals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there are those players that do not.
Right, of course.
But for the
in
most
general,
part,
yeah.
I'd say 90 to 95% just, can I help you? Maybe they don't say it in that way, but they say, oh, you're about to do this multi-ball, or oh, you're about to start this mode. And they will tell you, and if you say, how do I do that? They will tell you. They won't say in a competition, I'm not telling you that because I'm competing against you.
Right.
They will
only,
say,
only very rarely
this
will
is
you
how
have
you
that.
Do it.
Yep. Only very rarely will you have that, like, say, in a high-level tournament where coaching is not allowed, you know, so even though, but even in,
it,
even
it
there,
it literally has to be a rule.
It has to be a rule because people will, I mean, I know I've definitely seen people just say, look, don't forget this and this because of this and this. Especially right after the game, you know.
Right.
Oh, make sure next time, that's what it really, really happens. Like after the game, like after someone's already won, they'll say, okay, make sure next time you do this and this. And they say, well, why? And then all of a sudden, now you have three people up at the game discussing what the rules are with this and that and the other thing. And now all of a sudden these people now have a better strategy to go on the next game because it's important to know that you can still beat that person. I mean, is it because you have the better skill set or is it because you had the better knowledge at that point and they just didn't know, you know, which is also, it's part of it. But the pinball community is really the most example I've seen of people just straight up explaining how to play a game soon after you play or adoring it or something just to... Just because I think as part of it, we know that that's what helps bring people into the game, in the sport, in the activity, whatever you want to call it. I call it the sport when you're talking about competition, but even just as an activity, as a leisure activity, as a hangout, as a bar sport, whatever you want to call it, just to help bring people in and let them see just how really cool this little game we have is that we love to share and why we go out to events like this where we spend portions of 12 hours playing and eating and drinking and playing and eating and drinking and stuff and playing and talking and then there's a winner and whatever and you get the money and then you go home and then we did it. I mean, you know, that's just gotta what we do. That's why there are people like me who travel. That's why I, you know, did my best to subtly twist your arm to come to this event. You know,
I'm so glad you twisted my arm.
Good. Just hoping that you would chill out with us once more. Yeah, and you
and
did.
You know what? A lot of people don't come out to win. They come out to hang out with friends.
That's it.
And they come out to learn. They come out to be with the community, which is a big part. I know this is kind of preachy, but the pinball community is a big thing. And I think that's where the basis of this podcast is going. And Unfortunately, it does sound preachy, but
I know, yeah, I know it sounds like Saturday morning cartoon stuff. I
it
know,
does.
But it's also true. I mean, sometimes morals come from real places. I mean, sometimes those memes you share on Facebook are based on real things. They're not just things you post.
Oh, no, we're going into the memes.
Sometimes they're real and they're based on real things that happen. So
next up on the fucking Meltdown podcast, you're going to see some memes on the website. Many, many, many memes.
Right. I'm putting you in charge of memes, Nikki. Nikki is the dean.
I'm the meme queen.
She is the ambassador of memes. Okay. I'm going to use, because we have the Facebook page. So we have to use the Facebook page. I think you're an admin on it. If you're not, I have to do that. But there is a Meltdown Pinball Podcast Facebook page. So just search for Meltdown Pinball Podcast and you'll see it show up. Basically, I'll just post it on their episodes as they go up.
So
you have to make sure you have that.
So wait until you see a lot of memes.
Who knows what sort of pinball memes might show up? I mean, if you've seen my site, you've seen some memes from Glenn Glary, Glenn Ross, My Little Pony will show up. But who knows? But sometimes a meme is what you need. Sometimes the really good meme at a good time really hits the spot. You know, even better than someone just saying it. It's weird, isn't it? It's like if you have the meme there.
If you have the meme, you have everything.
You have everything. It's weird. It's even if someone took the meme and typed the same meme as like a regular text, it doesn't seem the same. It's weird. It's just because it's seen as someone
if
has.
If you have the meme,
yeah,
you have everything.
You have everything. If you have, there's a meme for everything, and everything has a meme for
it. I'm just saying, there's a meme for everything, and everything is the meme.
Yeah. So we need more pinball memes. No, shout out to pinball memes on Instagram, by the way. So follow them.
We'll get back to
we'll
this.
Get back to that.
In the meantime, this is Nikki Di Lasagna, and
this is Steve Bowden here at Rochester, New York, on location, chilling out after the Stomp tournament, and it was awesome.
And we're signing off
for now, and we will see you all next time.
Good night.